Another fraptabulous episode of Twinfinite Loop, Twinfinite's official podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the listeners. Assumedly, they have their headphones in and they just said to themselves, I am doing fine or doing pretty bad. My wife just left me, just out loud. You know?
I hope that's not the case. That would
suck. Yeah.
Yeah, it actually kind of would. But if it is the case, we're here for you, buddy. You know,
me and
my friends Andy and Moz. Say hello, you guys.
Hello, you guys.
Hello. We got a wise guy here.
Yeah, wise guy.
Yeah, but how have you guys been doing? Huh? I was talking to Andy a bit before the show about games we were playing. How about you, Moz? You been playing anything good?
I started playing Hearthstone on my iPad when it came out. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm. And I put entirely too much time into it those last couple of days.
I still do not know what this game is, as everybody's been talking about it nonstop for the past like month or two.
It's like a trading card game?
Hmm.
It's like, I would say, it's like Magic, but a lot easier to like just pick up.
Mm-hmm.
The tutorial will take you like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to play through. And in that time, you'll have played like 5 or 6 games.
And well, as long as I have an iPad for like 3 more weeks, I should probably give this a try.
Yeah, it's free, and it's free on PC as well.
Oh, well, I guess I need to worry about not having an iPad in 3 weeks, because that'll be good. And our Mr. Andy over here has still been playing Resident Evil Bio thingy.
Resident Evil Revelations.
There we go. You should have seen this guy at PAX. Like, anytime he was just lying on the bed or riding on the bus, he would just pull out his fancy little red DS and
start playing
some Resident Evil.
It is so good, and I recommend anyone buys it. It's I feel like it, I don't know. Get it on any system, to be honest. It's a really good game.
Yeah, as I understand, like, all the ports are, like, they're not, like, retooled. It's just, like, a port of the game.
Yeah, the only thing I like best about it on the 3DS, because I haven't necessarily played it on the other ones, but what I like most about the 3DS is when I want to change weapons or something like that, or do some stuff, I just reach over to the touchpad, to the touchscreen, real quick. And I think that's probably one of its strengths.
I'm surprised you don't have it on the Wii U, then, because I know it's on the Wii, too.
Well, because I bought it on here first, and then they made it on Wii U, so I'm not going to buy it twice.
So yeah, I can understand that completely. I, on the other hand, bought Bioshock Infinite twice, once on PS3, and then recently on PC when it was on sale for super cheap, so I could get the Burial at Sea DLC super cheap. And I did, and I played it this weekend, and I liked it. The first part was meh, but the second part was actually pretty good. I would suggest it for fans of the original Bioshock who may have been disappointed by the core Infinite game, for sure.
What I think we should be talking about, and what's more important, is, well, the fact that today we're recording this, it's Easter, which means peeps.
Oh, yeah. And then the peep donut shit at Dunkin' Donuts. That was all over Boston when we were there. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that, Moz? What was?
I said, ugh.
Oh, we got ourselves a badass over here.
Did you look in the mirror and say that, or did you dare?
At your disgusting peeps. They sound like poops.
Peeps are a gift from the gods, my friend, unless they are the flavored peeps. In which case, they are born of Satan's asshole, and I would not recommend them.
I'm going to slap the shit out of you the next time I see you, Moz. No, I'm gonna smack you. I'm gonna punch you in the mouth.
You don't see it, but I'm highlighting my face with both hands right now and pointing right where you can slap me.
Are you doing like the Vogue frame with your hands? Because you should.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
What we ought to do is need to buy some of those new sweet Luminate peeps, because they're the most foul thing that I've ever put in my mouth.
Like, sweet lemonade?
Yeah, you eat them for one split second, and at first they just taste like lemon peeps, right? Which sounds pretty good. You're eating it, and it's like, it tastes a little weird, but I mean, like, it's not that bad. And then you swallow it. Then approximately 7 seconds pass, and then you're just hit with the worst aftertaste pain of your entire life. Like, they just left them in our hotel room over Magfest, and we didn't know where they came from until we figured out that the hotel just gave it to us. And me, two of my friends, my girlfriend, all had the exact same experience. It was okay. We swallowed it. Aftershock. Would not recommend unless we're putting it in Moz's mouth to then punch him in the face afterwards.
Moz, I'm going to give you some lemonade peeps, okay?
Okay.
Cool.
Are you opening your mouth to accept the peeps?
That's exactly what was happening.
That's weird.
I forgot you guys can't see me.
You're just a little slut ready to open up your mouth at any given opportunity. Whore.
You see, that's a pretty good point, too. Not the slut thing, but the fact that we can't see each other, because contrary to popular belief, we all do not live together in some tiny shack behind your uncle's house.
We should.
But we did get to interact for the first time, or at least I did with the main group. I was a newbie. I was a nubile new writer at PAX East, where we all
and
were.
And virile.
Yeah, I was quite virile, but not anymore. Not after PAX. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
But seriously, though, we were all at PAX. I'm sure you guys caught our coverage where we covered it. We had over a whopping, like, what was it, 40, 50 different, what? Like, articles?
75? It's
70.
Jesus Christ. Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. It was the second highest amount of coverage we've ever had for a convention.
Second? What was the first?
E3 last year, we had like 92, 93 posts.
Okay, I don't doubt.
However, I went over this with Yami, and like a lot of those, it was more like maybe 75 for PAX East, and maybe like actually like 76 for E3, because the rest of the 90 something like that
were actually coverage from the conference,
the video conferences.
Yep.
Ah. Okay. Well, we had 75 freaking articles, and
it's disgusting. It's still a disgusting amount.
Yeah.
I don't know who we think we are.
If you guys watched World's Worst Video Game Journalist, you know that Andy just couldn't get the stench off his hands.
I couldn't find any video games.
Which, by the way, I love how that video came out, because I was the one filming it. And the thing was that at any given time, I was about 3 or 4 feet away from Andy, which meant I could never actually hear what he was saying. So I only got to hear most of that stuff for the first time watching the finished video.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you like it?
Oh, no. Yeah, I loved it. It was actually pretty good. Like,
what didn't you like about it?
What didn't I like?
Great, thanks a lot. I can't believe you hated it. Oh my God.
Well, I never heard you, Andy.
You heard that, right, Moz? He was like, oh my God, Andy.
If I remember his quote, he said it was the worst thing he had ever experienced, and it made his mind throw up.
Okay, Moz, you're getting two lemonade peeps in the mouth this time. Yeah, keep it open. I'll be there in a few days.
Gross.
But what did you guys think about PAX overall this year? This was not the first time for either of you boys, right?
Nope. I mean, I've been to PAX Prime multiple. This is my third time going. Second time is press. I think this was Andy's first time at PAX East.
Yes. My first PAX East, and then PAX Prime I went to last year.
This was also my first PAX East. So I guess us as the newsies, what did you think about it, Andy?
I thought it was really interesting how PAX East is like four times bigger, but we covered like four times more.
You mean Prime? PAX.
Yes. PAX Prime is four times bigger than PAX East, but we covered four times more at PAX East than at PAX Prime.
I think it helps that like on any given day we could actually cover the entire floor if we wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, the main difference I saw this year is that there wasn't that many like huge AAA games.
Wildstar.
Yeah. So you remember how big the Wildstar booth was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In previous years, like instead of that, you'd have a huge like Ubisoft game booth or other AAA games, which I can't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, Sony and Nintendo already just flat out weren't at PAX East this year.
Yeah, this year was very indie heavy, so it was a lot of smaller booths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you talk to anybody at like any other site or just anyone who was there, I mean, like the show floor pretty much like one half of it was dedicated to kind of like the big stuff, like, you know, Borderlands, Bethesda's giant booth. Sony had like a tiny community booth, the League of Legends, and then like the other half was like the indie mega booth, which was like an amalgamation of probably like a couple dozen just like indie games and studios, then like a mini indie mega booth, and then just kind of like random indie games just like peppered all throughout this other half of the show floor. And it's like that it was just like packed to the gills with like indie games. Like there were so many like games per capita in like that half alone.
Yeah, pretty much. Instead, like at PAX Prime, like even LocoCycle had its own booth and stuff like that. Like there was just so much space for like just any company to just throw in. Like I didn't see it, but Assassin's Creed Black Flag had like a massive thing.
Yeah. So I remember like last year there was a huge. So if you guys remember the Evolve booth, imagine it twice the size. That was how big the Borderlands 2 booth was. And then there was a huge Assassin's Creed booth, and then there was a huge Watch Dogs booth. So pretty much between those three, they took like a solid fifth to like a fourth of the show floor space. Yeah. Whereas this year was a lot less congested.
Yeah, like there was definitely like a big like Borderlands 2 booth again, because, well, not Borderlands 2, but Borderlands the pre-sequel, and like I said, the Bethesda thing, and then this weird like Wildstar MMO or something. Like nobody at the show had any idea what it was. It was like
it was at Prime
like,
too.
It was like this weird like Ratchet and Clank Borderlands MMO thing, and like my guess is that they had like a lot of money from it. Like I was talking to James Portnow from Extra Credits, and he says that like these guys have been like the past couple PAXes just kind of like out of nowhere, and he too was wondering like where they got this money from, because like if you went out to Boston, it was on the taxis, it was on the trash cans, it was plastered onto the side of buildings, and it's like, what is this game?
I still don't know.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it the last couple of years too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was at PAX Prime. They had their own giant booth. And I mentioned this before in like various things. PAX Prime, until PAX East, PAX Prime was the first and last time I had ever heard of WildStar. They had a giant booth, and no one ever talked about it. No one ever advertised it anywhere until PAX East. And then suddenly it was like, oh, by the way, they have a booth again. Who? WildStar. It's like, oh. Who is this? I don't know, but they're there again. It's really bizarre, and I don't know where that came from. It's kind of, I don't know if it's gonna be good. Whether it's gonna be good is an entirely different story. But they definitely have some kind of like hyper marketing going behind them.
Well, I mean, as much marketing as it is, just couldn't compete for just like the sheer just kind of like energy of just some of the indie devs that were there. Like, did either of you guys get a chance to play Video Ball over at Midnight City?
I played it last year, but not this time.
Yeah, we played at Prime, but not this time. I was very pissed off that I missed it this time, because I really needed to. I saw the booth on Sunday, like half an hour before I left for the like the week. And there was a huge crowd of people. Otherwise, I would have went and tried to play it.
Okay, because I think I remember you guys saying you met the dudes there before, because it's like the developer and then like his marketing guy, and they just have like the craziest energy in the world, and like,
dude, yeah,
they're just going about like Video Ball, the sport of the future. In the future, we'll solve crime with Video Ball, and
yeah, like, Tim Rogers
game crashed. He would be like, oh wait, we just gotta fix it right quick, and they would point out like everything new about it, and be like, change the UI, and we have the stage. It's this crazy stage, you know. You don't really get Video Ball until the second time you play it, and like, you know, like it was all right. Like Video Ball was fun, but I mean, like, I just simply remember that game being there just because, like, those guys were just, like, so into it.
I think he's the developer, the guy that was wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
His name is Tim Rogers.
And, like, these crazy, like, Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, he is super, super energetic. Like, we met him at Prime, and the guy was just, like, when we went and first saw, like, the Midnight City, like, first lineup or whatever, they had, like, this little bus that everyone got on. And there was no space, but somehow it felt like he was bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, oh my god! Skinny enough to do it.
We got to get skinny people, huh?
Hey, I'm skinny too, Andy. You know for a fact how tiny I am. You saw me.
That's beside the point, JC. You could be one of those self-hating skinny people.
But I gotta ask, was there anything else that the at Prime you guys saw that, you know, we didn't get to go maybe too in depth on the site that you really want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, the only thing that I feel like I missed out on was getting a chance to talk to the developers of This War of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time
was that one of our games of the show?
It was. Every time me and Alex went by to talk to them, see if we could set up an interview, there was always like three or four people waiting in line to talk to the developers. Not even play the game, just talk to the developers.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, no. Because that game is just, like, I can't put into words. Well, technically, I already did, but I can't put in spoken word how, like, interesting and entertaining that game is.
I was say, I know for me, like, one that I didn't get a chance to write a thing about, but I'm trying to talk about in a video I'm making right now, is this game called Sound Self. It's an Oculus Rift game that, instead of using the Oculus Rift, is kind of like full immersion 3D. It uses it as, like, this weird sensory deprivation thing, where they just give you a microphone, and then you make, like, guttural, like, chanting sounds, like monks or something or whatever, and it just, like, makes, like, colors and sounds just, like, based on the frequency of your voice and whatever, and it's just, like, you and these visuals and the sound, and it's just kind of, like, you become the colors, man. It's crazy.
Speaking of sounds, I think it was called Project Cygnus? Yes, something like that. When I find the actual name, but I'm pretty sure it's that one. Mm-hmm. And it is actually an interactive radio drama, and that we found during press hour, and then there are no visuals, but it's an entire game, and you don't ever have to like look at any, like you could just like lay back in your bed, and then you'll just hear. It was really well done too, and you'll just
right there.
Yeah, and then you hear, like the conversations going on, like, so, you want to play poker, shit like that, and then it'll tell you...
Are you, like, talking to the game?
When you have to make a decision, like, do you play it cool, or do you play arrogantly, like, yeah, I'm playing poker, shit like that, like, you can say, like, oh, cool, or, like play cool, or be arrogant, like that, you know. Like, you say the commands out loud, or if you're in a place where you can't talk, you could always just press the command on your phone. But it's so cool, you can just kind of close your eyes and literally just kind of jump right into this entire world where it's just, like, just nothing but your... fueled by literally nothing but your imagination. I thought that was really neat, and I can't wait to play it.
I hope it, like, ends up on, like, Steam or something where you can play it at home, because I would definitely be interested in picking up something like that.
It's on the phone, so you could just, like, take it anywhere.
Oh, nice. So I can be on the phone playing this game, and then people will think I'm an important businessman.
Yeah, and you'll be like, play it cool, Jeremy.
Play it cool, Jeremy. Play it cool. Like, wow, cool. That guy must be saving some dude off of drugs.
Oh, my God.
What a nice guy he must be.
Oh, it was called Codename Cygnus.
All right, there we go. There we go.
Cygnus. I think Devin wrote up the post about it. So you guys could check it out if you really want to look it up.
Yeah, see, this is my first pack, so I guess, like, I only have so much room to talk, but I mean, like, that's just what I really came away, like, really kind of, like, mesmerized with, like, how much stuff there was there, because my convention of choice is always MAGFest, and the thing about MAGFest is, like, there's definitely a lot less stuff to see, but there's always something going on, like, secret concerts or, like, weird shit going on at panels or, like, in, like, a tournament in, like, the hallway or something, and it's, like, you always get home, and then you hear about all this really cool stuff that, like, you missed out on, even though you saw this much cool stuff yourself, and, like, it was the exact same way at, like, PAX East. So, like, talking to people about, like, their experiences felt like trading cards, where it's like, oh, what did you see that was cool? And I was like, oh, I played this game where you wear an Oculus Rift and you look at dudes' asses and get points. It's like, wow, and I played a game that was, like, 2D Dark Souls. And it's like, whoa.
Dude, yeah, yeah.
Everybody just got, like, something different they checked out. It's just...
On the escalator, I heard someone, like, hey, did you guys check out that, first person Where's Waldo game, and I didn't even see anything that remotely looked like a first person Where's Waldo game. Like, I couldn't possibly fathom where they had seen that.
Just, like, a bunch of, like, really random Oculus Rift games there, because I only got to play, like, two or three of them, and I wish I found more of them there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I already ask you what you thought, Moz, or was it the thingy with the thing?
The thingy with the thing.
The thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, taking with the thing. It's just that, I mean, this is my fifth PAX that I've gone to. Mm-hmm. And every time, like, I don't know if you remember before, everyone's like, oh, what are we looking forward to? And everyone was listing things. And I was just like, I honestly don't know. Like, I've gotten to the point where I have no expectations going in. I don't expect to see anything of interest. Then I go in and I see all these awesome games and things coming out. And
so as a longtime veteran, you're pleasantly surprised?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that after the second or third time, you'd get kind of bored of it. But every time I go, I always have a good time, good experiences. And yeah, I play that awesome.
We got Slurpees, too.
I didn't get any goddamn Slurpee. I got juice.
Yeah, his health
that's your problem. That's your problem, bitch.
Yeah, I had Slurpees and a giant-ass Rice Krispie treat. What did you do with your life?
I had juice and a cookie.
And shawarma.
And gummy bears.
Oh, yeah, gummy bears. You did have those gummy bears. I think you fell asleep, and then I ate one.
You son of a bitch.
That's how I roll, motherfuckers.
I had someone's sloppy seconds when I got that pork sandwich.
Oh, yeah, you did. On the very first night. That's going to be one of my first memories of meeting you in person from now on, Andy.
Being the second bitch? Like,
exactly. Yeah. Like, you guys all get your chance to set your first memories with me. Like, for Mods, it's like, you know, he picked me up from the train station, and he had shawarmas. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And Devon was there, too. And, you know, Alex and Austin were watching I Met Your Mother, I guess. And then you were playing Resident Evil and eating leftover barbecue at somebody left behind in a doggy bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me steal the host microphone from you for a second.
You better not. It's very expensive.
I will be very careful. Was this your first, both of you, was this your first time coming to Boston?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What did you guys think of the city?
Well, I think we said it when we went out that one night, but at least where we were, surprisingly clean.
I saw it as a New York that was clean and did not smell like garbage.
Ooh, but we did see, like, a pimp chewing out a hoe at some point.
Where was I?
We were walking, and there was that dude just yelling at that girl, and she was, like
this business. This business.
And we were just kind of like, whoa, what's going on over there?
That super tall guy that was, like, 6'8"?
Something like that. It was like we were walking, and we passed through, like, one really shady, like, block in the middle of, like, Chinatown for, like, 1 second.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah,
that was really cool. I remember. I loved that part.
I don't know. Like, the last day, I actually walked from the convention center to the train station because I was going to get, like, lunch with, like, James and some other people, too. And, like, it was a much shorter walk than I thought it was. Like, I actually probably could have... Oh, if it weren't, like, 8 o'clock at night, I probably could have walked from the station to the convention center or something. But, I mean, like, it is a very walkable city, and I do really appreciate that about cities. I just didn't want to be walking around with what was clearly luggage that made me look like I was from out of town. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much the area we were in is very walkable, but, like, if you get out, like, beyond downtown, then it's not so easy. Because, I mean, just in general, like you guys saw, the streets aren't in a grid formation. So unless you know precisely where you're going, it could be a little tough.
Well, I mean, I guess it helps that we were in, like, in a hotel area of town. Because, I mean, like, National Harbor for MAGFest, it's like you can step outside and you can hear a pin drop. It's just kind of, like, empty and clean. And, like, there's a place near me, too, like Reston. And I've been there before. And it, too, was, like, the only place to go eat is, like, Uno's and a gourmet burger place. So take a pick. Yeah, I mean, those kind of places are typically kind of, like, walkable and clean and safe by design. So, you know, maybe I didn't get a true taste of a Boston, but we did go to a weird combo Asian restaurant that felt pretty Boston-y.
Right? That was, like, Asian food. No, I think it was just a regular Thai restaurant.
I know, but they had, like, Chinese food, Thai food, and...
You're right. Is that what Asian fusion is?
Wait, no, Asian fusion is usually...
There. Japanese?
I mean, Asian fusion, from what I can understand, is usually, like, when it's, like, Indian food made by Chinese people or Chinese food made by Indian people.
Like Tex-Mex.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, this is just a place that just sold... It was Vietnamese. It was Chinese food, Thai food, and Vietnamese food.
What's Asian persuasion?
You're asking the wrong people. You're asking two brown fellas. We're not going to know.
What's happy ending?
And Andy, you've got a lot to learn about the world.
When the birds and the bees.
I think we should have a private talk with Andy during the break. I'm sure the listeners already know all this, don't you?
All right. Thanks, and then real quick, Andy, which city do you prefer, Seattle or Boston?
Because Seattle.
Really? Why?
The when we were driving up to the airport, and then I saw like all the trees and like wilderness around us, and then the city beneath, I fell in love, and I was like, wow.
That makes
maybe
sense.
He does know more about the birds and the bees than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break, listeners.
Break.
JC's got a prescription for love, and it's peeps.
Mm.
That is
peeps. Oh, yeah. You brothers ready to get this show on the road?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Uh-huh.
Come on, it's Liam, and welcome to the second half of our podcast, folks. I don't know what that was. We were talking about peeps, and I've been eating Chips Ahoy and watermelon Oreos all day. I don't know. I'm probably going to die, but...
You've lost control of your life.
420, phrase it and blaze it. Ah, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Happy 420, you guys. Can't believe two holidays in one day. Isn't that crazy?
I know, right? See, Easter Bunny's coming out, and he's just kind of like, hey, brother, you might want to look in that egg. And you open up the egg, and it's just filled with some goodies, and he's just kind of like... You're welcome. Then he just hops away.
Yeah.
as we're still on the topic of the PAX, as it may be, one of the biggest developments of this year's PAX was one of the crowning apexes of the whole Dick Wolves controversy, the immersion of the Diversity Lounge, the Role for Diversity Lounge. Now, if you listeners out there don't know what exactly this lounge was, it turned up on the internet a few months ago mysteriously as this space that was going to head to PAX East, wherein, I don't remember the words exactly, but to paraphrase, essentially that minorities and alternative groups would get a safe space to go get information about games, developers, and career opportunities relevant to them in an area that's away from the rest of the show. When this news came out, people flipped the lid because they were like, oh man, does this mean they're just going to put all the women and like black people off in a room somewhere away from everybody else? Or is it going to be like a zoo for people to come and laugh at? Oh, hey, look at the queer in his little room. And it was like, well, what's it going to be? And, well, turns out it was actually pretty nice. It was a couple of tables, but it was mostly gender and... sexuality kind of like groups, you know, like did that gay gamer convention have a table there? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but...
yes, it did.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Did you not watch my God? Now I know how Yami feels. Did you not watch my video?
I watched some of the videos. I skipped around.
I was confusing it with BentCon, and I was gonna be like, no, BentCon had.
BentCon did have a table.
Yeah, I know they did. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but. No, do you want to describe what was in there, Ma, since you seem to be the expert on it?
Yeah, sure. We walked in very momentarily.
It was like a big room, like at a hotel or something, like one of those conference rooms that they have. It's a pretty big room. They had tables for the different exhibitors. Surprisingly, there weren't too many like game developers or any like actual video games in the room. It was mostly like
artists.
It felt like an information booth at like a school fair or something. Which
it's exactly kinda... that's the best way to describe it. That's exactly how it felt. Yeah. There was a couple people with comic books. A lady that did like a cosplay book. BentCon, which is like a convention that they have in LA, I think, or Texas, one of the two. And then the Lady Planeswalker Society, which is like a Magic the Gathering type group where they teach female members like how to play, and it's very, I mean, like any other nerd culture, it's very non-inclusive towards women. Mm-hmm. So they're just trying to make like a very open and welcoming group to like teach female gamers how to play Magic, and then like people to play with and stuff like that.
I mean, I think open and welcoming are like the right words to use, because it really reminded me of like, I don't know if you guys had this at like your campuses wherever where you went to school or high school or whatever, but those things like the safe spaces where like, you know, like sometimes there'll be like teachers who like have like these like signs outside their offices or specific rooms where it says like, this is a safe space. And so basically where it's kind of like, if you ever have like any sort of like issues, like you can go somewhere where you can feel safe or you'll have somewhere to talk to or whatever. It really reminded me of like one of those kind of things for PAX. Cause like, I know they have like a little corner where they have like a bunch of beanbags where like people could just kind of come and like catch their breath and like just chill out and play with other like gamers with like similar interests and stuff. And I was talking to a girl who was running a table there. Like, she was from Bethesda and she was running a table in the diversity lounge most of the weekend. And she said she was really pleased with how it turned out. She felt like it really achieved I don't know if it's what they want to achieve, but I think what it needed to achieve, which was just kind of like making a safe space where people could get educated. And what was it? I think, was it Mike or Gabe? I think Mike came down.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike Krahulik came down and he played a game of a Penny Arcade's tabletop game with them. And, you know, she said that, you know, the people came in and they played and some more people left with them. And it was pretty cool to see. And, you know, it's not perfect, but I mean, it was a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I will say that while everyone seemed to have enjoyed it and said that, you know, it was a pretty modest success for, you know, for something that didn't really have the highest of expectations put towards it. A couple of people were saying that, you know, they wish it was a little bit more centralized and a little bit more of the main part of the show, because it was. Like, depending on who you ask, some people were like, oh, it was easy to find. And then other people were like, it kind of was tucked away in, like, a corner.
I totally didn't see it Friday. Like, I only caught it, Saturday when it was like, all you guys going to the media room. And you guys were like, we found this other way to the media room that has escalators. And it's like, okay. Oh, hey, there's the diversity lounge. Didn't know that.
Me and Alyssa totally found it by accident. We were just trying to figure out the quickest way to the show floor. And we walked by it, and I was like, oh, okay. So that's where it is. Cool.
Yeah, which is weird because the Take This project had a room that was kind of similar to it. It was just like a chill out room where basically like you could just go and crash and just like
catch your breath
if you were getting stressed out. I've got to point out real quick. I'm really fond of the people at Take This project. I think they have a really really nice site going on, and I was really happy to see they had something there. I know I think those guys could have maybe been like good neighbors or something, but like. That I can understand being a little bit further away from the show, but I definitely agree that the Diversity Lounge could have maybe been a bit more centralized or more easier to find, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And someone did bring up a good point, though. Like, even though it was a little bit out of the way, like, it was in a quiet area and there wasn't, like, an insane amount of foot traffic like there is on the show floor. So I guess it helped some people feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, this island in the middle of this sea of sweaty, disgusting-smelling people.
So was there anything else you guys kind of were, like, expecting from it? Like, anything you maybe would like to see from it to grow in the future for?
I was expecting it to be a little bit more culturally diverse.
Yes.
Like, I was expecting, like, them to reach out to, you know, minority developers or... Mm-hmm. You know, people from of different, you know, ethnic or racial backgrounds, which, I mean, it's fine that they didn't. It was pretty diverse as it was. But I guess it would have been nice to see a little bit more. I would say for next year, I would suggest that Penny Arcade reach out to, because, I mean, there are minority developers everywhere. If they reached out to them and like, hey, can you come and just like chill out here for an hour. That,
talk. But I mean, just like with the LGBT community, like not only is it developers, but it's also communities, conventions, websites, internet shows, like all sorts of things that I think like are also culturally relevant. Because like, I mean, like I'm not labeling anything as like a fad or anything right now, but I feel like the real like hot button diversity issue right now is the issue of gender in this country or whatever, which is what I felt a lot of what the diversity lounge is kind of like addressing the issue of. And like, you know, there was a whole thing about like, you know, the gender neutral bathrooms at PAX and stuff, and the more stuff saying from the Dick Wolf stuff or whatever. Like, gender is definitely like the hot button issue right now, and just kind of like modern technological society and stuff or whatever. But like, I also think it is very important to also maybe look at the cultural side of things as well, because I mean, like, the same girl I was talking to from Bethesda, like, I actually mentioned this to her, and I was like, you know, I pointed out that one of my favorite developments of the past few years is the new show on Cartoon Network, Steven Universe, which is the first cartoon to be made by a woman on that station. And, you know, it's like, you know, I don't think it's cool because, like, oh, you know, girls can make cartoons too. We're like, you know, it's not because, like, it's this show where it's like, it's a show about girls, by girls, for girls, or, you know, like the whole, like, weird My Little Pony thing where it's like, it's rejecting notions of being a girl. It's like, it's none of those things. It's just a good show made by, like, a woman. And it's just really important for, like, little girls growing up to see that, like, a woman can make a show without having to, like, be, like, making a show for women or about women. Because, like, I feel the same way as, like, as I'm interested in art. Like, as a black person, it's like, every time I see, like, a black TV show or a black cartoon, it's like, it's in, like, Curtis or the Boondocks or, like, anything Tyler Perry makes where it's, like, as good or bad as those things may be, like, it still has always felt like kind of like a compromise to me. And like, I think it's more important to see, like, you know, just like, not necessarily that like, oh, someone has to make shows for these black people, but just like, you know, like black people can make shows without being held to any standards. And like,
the same thing
can be said about like games as well. You don't see black game developers. And I think it's important to see like a black development studio. It doesn't have to be like, you know, like, ooh, we're the Black Panthers of gaming. We're making games about how black people can get involved in their community. Just like, you know, like, hey, my name is Jan Smith. I'm an African American from Illinois. Here is a game that I made. It's like,
exactly.
That'd be really cool to see in the diversity lounge.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they should definitely reach out to content creators regardless of, you know, what branch on the nerd tree they happen to be on, whether it be comic books, video games, whatever. But I mean, it's people that, you know, the everyday gamer or, you know, cosplayer or comic book reader, it's, you know, people that they can easily relate to. I don't remember how many days ago it was, but someone on Twitter that I follow put up this thing about how it was tough for him growing up as a quote unquote black nerd. It's Sangfoid underscore San on Twitter, if you want to follow him. His name's Sydney.
Is he write for a site?
I don't know if he writes for a site. I think he might just be a freelancer.
Okay, because like there was a panel at MAGFest run by these guys. I forget what their podcast was called. I feel really bad for not remembering it. But there were specifically like a black nerd podcast, and they had a really good panel about this very subject. And I was wondering if it's like that same dude or not.
I mean, I can send you the link. So maybe if you want to link it in.
Yeah, let me see the link to that, and so I can see if it's the same dude.
But anyways, it was just pretty much talking about how as he's trying to just grow up as a black nerd or whatever you want to call it, it's just that I totally lost track of my point looking up.
I'm sorry.
God damn it, JC. It's okay. I forgive you. But anyways, just back to my point, just seeing someone who does the same thing you do and seeing, you know, that they've made a career out of it or they've become very successful doing it. It's a pretty big confidence booster. Just speaking from personal experience, like you always want to see that. You always want to see someone that just, you can relate to doing stuff that you like to do.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. That's exactly my point. Like, as someone who's interested in cartooning, it's like, I am very hard pressed to name like very prominent like black cartoonists. And it's like, growing up, the only one I remember seeing is like on Reading Rainbow, that episode where LeVar Burton goes to visit that guy who draws Curtis or whatever, and it's just kind of like, that's cool. So if I want to be a cartoonist, does that mean I have to make a cartoon about, like, an inner-city black kid growing up? Because, I mean, like, as cool and important as that is, I just want to tell a good story. I don't know if I really want to, like, make a stance with the stuff I'm making or whatever. I mean, if I ever want to do that, that'd be nice, but I'd like to just make stuff or whatever. And, you know, I'm sure that's, like, I'm sure that's a lot of the stuff that's on the mind of, like, the LGBT community as well when it comes to gaming and conventions, just wanting to get involved more with the games that they love and the communities that, like, brought them there to begin with, too, you know, like, that sort of thing.
Definitely.
I don't know, like, I guess, ultimately, I'd like to see the Diversity Lounge maybe get a bit more diverse, and it's, like, it definitely just, like, kind of started out, and there's definitely room to grow. I'm glad it started out very strong.
I think it was diverse enough as I think space kind of really limited what they could do. So I'd like to see them have more space, because I don't know about the spacing situation at PAX Prime, but PAX East, like, there was a lot of space that wasn't used. So if they just, like, pushed, especially on the show floor, because it was, like, the big gaming section, the big computer section, the big tabletop section, and in the back was kind of just this big open area. If they shift,
it was just like a funnel cake stand back
there. Yeah, like, there's a lot of space that they could have used to better situate the exhibitors that they had. And then that way they could increase the number of exhibitors, or maybe have multiple diversity lounges, like one on each side of the giant-ass convention center.
I think ultimately, like, at some point, maybe we'll see the diversity lounge get, like, integrated into the show floor itself, much like the indie mega booth, where it's like indie games grew from being just kind of like a garnish onto the games that were PAX to actually literally being half of that show. Like, the indie mega booth was huge. It spanned, like, the width of the show floor. It was amazing how big it was. And, like, I mean, like, I feel like the goal is one day to, like, maybe bring that diversity quote-unquote lounge to the show floor and then just have, like, it just be a normal part of that show, very much like the indie games were.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You got anything to say, Andy? Me and Ma's been yapping a lot over here.
The only time that I ever walked in was when I was walking around with you, JC, and inside there were hardly any people aside from the exhibitors themselves, which made me think that, you know, there would probably be a lot more people in here if they even actually knew that this was here, because while I heard about the Diversity Lounge before, I never actually read into it, because I just thought, I mean, I didn't really think of it.
I mean, everybody, laughed it off at first.
Yeah, so I didn't think about it. So, and I actually didn't even know what the Diversity Lounge was until we had stumbled upon the entrance, and then I saw the sign that said exactly what it was, and then I was like, oh my god, wow, okay. And, you know, I walk in, and I feel like if more people knew about it and or knew what it was, there would probably be more people there. And then, it didn't help that it was so sectioned off, so like that. But then at the same time, it's like, well, should it be sectioned off? You know, should this even be a lounge at all? Like, of course, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be any kind of heckling or something like that. Like, the possibility of any kind of heckling from whomever there would be on the show floor. And so was this kind of feeding the problem by sectioning them off and giving them their own lounge? Or how do you work around this? And then it in itself becomes an entirely strange kind of conundrum.
I just wanted to make a quick note as well. Like, just, I know some of the just random PAX goers that I was talking to, they were like, oh yeah, we saw the Diversity Lounge, and we just kind of peeked in, but we didn't really go inside. Because I don't know, it felt like we were intruding on the space of the people that were in there. And even when me and Alyssa went by on Saturday, we had all of our video taping equipment and everything, and we were going to do interviews with all the exhibitors, but we were kind of debating whether we should do it or not. Because, I mean, if someone's not comfortable with, like, a camera in their face, then you don't want to walk in there and be like, hey, you have to talk to us on camera. And just it felt like we were intruding on someone else's space. But then once you go in there and you actually talk to the exhibitors, it couldn't be further from the truth, like this misconception that we had. They were all extremely welcoming. you know, down to talk to anybody about anything. They're all extremely friendly. And as far as heckling goes, like, yes, that's going to be an issue by some of the more stupid people in the community.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I don't think it should stop them. Like, even the possibility of that.
And also, those people aren't the bravest assholes in the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they feel comfortable saying online, I doubt a vast majority of them will say anything in person. Yeah, and if they do,
I understand they had no sort of, like, violent outbursts at the lounge itself.
Yeah. Not at all. And so I think next year, I mean, they might as well just take it a step further, maybe even nix the lounge and just have it as an entire section. Because if there was enough space at PAX East, there sure as hell is going to be more space in, like, the 5-6 floors of PAX Prime, you know? Mm-hmm. You could put that anywhere. I found, like, empty booths, actually, at PAX Prime last year.
Yeah, where the hell were you, Telltale?
That was a very conspicuous absence. It was just like a giant empty space with a sign that said Telltale on it.
Exactly. Yeah. I say they just do what they want to do and then just go for it, you know, because otherwise I don't fucking know. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the world's their oyster at this point. Like I said, double thumbs up for being successful so far. There's literally nowhere to go but up from here, like up and more growth, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If they do want to keep it as a lounge, it's like that, then I think they should definitely, of course, bring in some more games. Always Sometimes Monsters would have been a perfect game to keep there because you can, like, be anyone and, you know, fall in love with anyone. And it's the exact kind of game that is all what it the essence of diversity, and that would have been perfect.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. So I guess, you know, with that, I think it's only safe to say that Twinfinite approves of the diversity lounge, wouldn't you guys?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Let's take a little break, listeners, and then wrap this show up. Break. Welcome back, listeners, to Twinfinite Loop. Oh, look at the time. The sun is setting on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. We're getting sleepy and hungry, not in that order. It's time to say goodbye. What did you guys learn from PAX this year?
I learned that video games are cool and they're fun.
What did you learn, Moz?
I learned that nothing in Boston is as far as it seems, as long as the weather is decent. If the weather is shitty, then everything feels far as hell.
Yeah, I learned that Dunkin' Donuts comes from Boston.
I learned that Boston, that there are so many cute dogs roaming. Like, people have, like, the cutest dogs in Boston, and they take them out and flaunt them. So I'm going to have to move to Boston just so I could look at the beautiful dogs walking around.
Well, with that, is there anything coming up on Twinfinite that you guys want peeps to look out for?
Not really. Just follow the site, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Andy? Any features or reviews or anything coming up for you?
Nothing specifically right now. Just subscribe to everything and listen to everything and read everything.
Oh, that's great advice. I think I should be having a couple of reviews coming out this week. I'm playing that new Adventure Time game. Spoiler alert, I like it a lot more than Explore the Dungeon, so
there's that. Cool.
So that's good to know. Make sure if you haven't checked out our PAX footage, like, go watch our videos, read our articles. You know, we cover some really unique games in there, you know, some stuff that not a lot of people are talking about that's definitely worth your attention, so.
And I can pretty confidently say that we had the most in-depth coverage of PAX out of any site you'll ever see on the internet.
Yeah, not to toot our horns, but we actually had a couple people, including developers, actually tell us that, so.
Yeah.
Twinfinite's making a good name for itself. Why not hop on board Twinfinite Train while it's just getting started? Woot woot.
It's toot toot. Okay. Toot. There you go. Well, that's a train.
Yeah, that's a Twinfinite train right there. Well, boys, yeah. I think it's time to sign off, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, sorry. No. You gotta say goodbye to the lovely people.
No.
There you
go. Goodbye to the lovely people.
But me and Moz do.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Moz-ass.
Moz-ass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh.